Well, good morning. One of the things I find that people most want to ask God about and they want to hear about is, what should I do with my future? And so I just want to give you a clear answer. Okay, if you're a high schooler or a collegiate, you need to come two Sundays from now in the afternoon between 5 and 6:30. We're going to have a career day. Samara Centelier has coordinated at the moment 12 white and blue collar professionals to share with our young people possibilities for what their future might hold, to answer questions just right face to face. And in fact, she'll be out in the lobby. There's a monitor out there that has that very sign on it. Samara will be out there. If you are a professional, be it blue collar, white collar, you're a plumber, and you would like to help young people discover your career or learn about your career, would you see her out in the lobby this morning? She would love to have you participate 2 weeks from this Sunday. All right, so there's the public service announcement. Okay, I want you to know this is a really important topic. Oops. There we go. This is a really important topic, so big that we're not going to cover it all this morning. We're just going to scratch the surface. In fact, it's likely that some of you will leave with more questions than you came in with. And I just want to let you know with great confidence that Pastor Don is willing to answer those questions. Okay, so don't hesitate a moment. All right, it's my sermon. Write me, jim.groves@avalonchurch.org, and I will be glad to spend some time with you gleaning what I've discovered from God's Word. Okay, so seriously, how do I know if God is speaking to me? Well, does it sound like this?
Excuse me, Jim, maybe you could lose a few pounds.
What, God? I couldn't quite hear you.
Excuse me, Jim, maybe you could lose a few pounds.
Okay, so how do we know that was God's voice? One, because it was really boomy and full, and the other is it told the truth. Oh, no, okay. That's just John Molloy, often confused with the voice of God. No, this... Okay, this is really... You know, I worked and worked on this, and then the elders reminded me yesterday that I could make this really simple by just giving you God's cell phone number. Okay, so 1-800-OUR-FATHER. Feel free to text him or call, and I'm sure he'll get right back to you. If you get an odd text today during the message that from that number, well, you can know for sure that that's God. Hey, let me tell you, I'm going to give you a disclosure right up front. We're going to move at a pretty good pace. I'm going to cite and put up on the screen and on the YouVersion, where was that thing there? YouVersion, yep. If you go to YouVersion on your mobile device, go to More, go to Events, go to Avalon Church Orlando, go to the live part. All the slides you're going to see are there, plus some discussion questions for the life groups on the other app. But you can follow me. I'm going to cite a lot of scriptures, and I'm not going to read many of them. I'm going to leave that to you to do. So write those down or look at the YouVersion. Get together with your life group, which we know you're all a part of a life group. This is going to lead to some lively discussion, no doubt. So seriously, how am I going to know if God is speaking to me? I'm going to tell you that it has an incredible amount of similarities. You know, answering the question, how do I know God is speaking to me, is very similar to how do I know that my wife, Debbie, is speaking to me. And I want you to listen as I just build this a little bit and see if you can see the parallels between God and Debbie, who is, again, often confused with God, but in my life. Okay, it's all about familiarity and relationship. Debbie and I met back in the summer of 1970, and here's what happened. We met, I liked her. We talked, we connected, we got married and became one. We've shared life and life purpose for 47 years. We complete each other's sentences. I know her voice, I know her heart. It came with familiarity and relationship. How does Debbie communicate to me? How does she talk to me? Sometimes it's face to face with words. Sometimes it's face to face without words. Any parent is capable of doing this, right? Yeah, okay. That's communication. You're talking to your kids, no words involved. Phone calls where I can hear her voice, even though she's not there. Emails, texts, dare I say letters. Does anybody remember what letters are? I've got You know, at our house, we've got a box of letters that Debbie sent to me while I was attached to submarines for 26 years in the Navy. To this very day, Warf, if you take that box out, see, Rod's going, oh my goodness, yes, and you open the lid, you go, diesel fuel and body odor. Because they still smell like submarine. Okay, but she can do it with words that are written, not heard. She could send me a photo or a picture, and I would know that she's communicating something to me. Do I only talk with her when I need something from her? That didn't work early in our marriage, I've learned. Okay. Does she get my full attention when she talks? Yes. Do I always clearly understand what she says? Heavens no. Do I always like what she says? Actually, no. Do I always do what she asks? Okay. Am I able to distinguish her voice from the voice of other women who would lead me astray? Yes. Figured that one out. See, effective communication has been one of the keys to the longevity and the quality of our relationship and our marriage. And the depth of our relationship is how I can know if Debbie is speaking to me. So first and foremost, the answer to how can you know if God is speaking to you is going to be rooted in familiarity and relationship. In terms of relationship, for the believers that are in this room right now, you are likely in one of these places. You are in a place of blind faith. You have no awareness that Jesus is in this room at the moment. You have no evidence of action, his action in your life, but still you believe. Still you are full of faith, faithful. We might move up a level and say, well, I'm in a place where I can sense God's presence. And that very often happens in a corporate environment where the worship and the music, you come to our evening of worship and prayer next Friday at 7 o'clock where we're just going to focus on singing praises to the Lord and praying. You'll probably go, I sense God's presence in this place. You might be in a place where I've seen God in action. I have a sense of his presence in my Christian walk because sometimes there's just things that happen that are powerful and I just can't explain. But very often that's where we end. We think, well, that's it. That's the totality of my Christian or my interaction with Jesus. And I want to take you to one more conversational relationship. Why? If God is personal, and he says he is, relational, and he says he is, and he chooses to live in you and me by the person of his Holy Spirit, and he does, why would he not also talk to us? Do you realize that human beings were once very alive to God? When Adam and Eve were in the garden before sin, they were in a daily dialogue with God, speaking to, hearing from, walking with. And then they mistrusted him, and they disobeyed him, and they were cut off from the realm of the spirit. Their spirits died, and their bodies too at that point, but their spirits died. But good news for us believers, that when we are born again, born from above, like Jesus talks about in John the 3rd chapter, we are once again alive to God. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 2:5. We're alive to God, able to respond to him and act within the realm of the spirit. Paul talks in Romans 8:14, Galatians 5:18. He talks about being led by the Spirit. And when in the context it's given, it's not robotic, it's not vague, it's dynamic, and it's personal. So I personally believe that believers are meant to live in an ongoing conversation with God, speaking and being spoken to. Okay, you have questions, you say. Okay, so how does God talk? How does he communicate? Well, how about we do a quick overview of Bible stories, biblical stories of how God spoke to people, how people hear from God. First is a phenomenon plus a voice. A phenomenon plus a voice. Moses at the burning bush prior to the Exodus. There's a bush, it's on fire, it doesn't consume, there's a voice that goes with it. Jesus' baptism, he's in the water, he's coming out of the water, and there's a booming voice, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Dove ascends, descends. That's a phenomenon. Paul's conversion, Acts 9, the road to Damascus, Jesus shows up and knocks him off his horse, just for fun, and then reveals himself to him in words. Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Okay, so we see phenomenon plus a voice. Sometimes it's a supernatural messenger or an angel. Joshua at the walls of Jericho meets the commander of the Lord's army, which is quite the moment. And the commander of the Lord's army, the angel, says to him, we're going in to take the city, no kidding. That's a paraphrase. Mary in Luke 1, there was an angel showing up and saying things we didn't expect to hear. But sometimes it's a supernatural messenger or an angel. Sometimes it's been in dreams and visions. Don talked a few weeks ago about Peter and the net. Remember the net that came down and God says to him, pick, go ahead, choose. And there's a dialogue that goes on there. Paul's vision of the Macedonian man in Acts 16, where there is a vision of a man that says, come on over here, we need you over here. Sometimes it's an audible voice. Go way back to 1 Samuel, the third chapter. There's little Samuel. He's a boy. He's living in the temple with Eli, the prophet. And he hears a voice, an audible voice, and he goes and he wakes up Eli. What do you want? Eli says, I didn't talk. Go back. Here's another voice. He gets up. Eli, what do you want? He says, I didn't talk. Third time, Eli figures out, ooh, go ask the voice what he wants you to know, because it's God. Sometimes it's a human voice, which carries with it an incredible amount of responsibility. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, he says, I did not preach very dynamically. I was not Andy Stanley. I was not Greg Greshel. I wasn't Charles Stanley. I was kind of cumbersome and odd, but the power of the Spirit speaking through me had great effect. You know, you're going, what? No, I don't believe any of that. Why do you come to church then? You come to church believing that the Spirit of God is going to speak through the person up here. Huh. And then there is the still small voice. 1 Kings 19:12, Elijah, after having his great interaction with the prophets of Baal and then wanting to, you know, just die, God, kill me, please. God revives him. There's a whole other message in that. Takes him off to the mountain and says, I'm going to show myself to you. I'm going to talk to you. And it's not a fire, and it's not an earthquake, and it's not a big wind. It says, after all that dramatic stuff, God came in a small voice, and Elijah heard him. Psalm 51, David says, God, you desire truth in my inward being. It might come from my inward being. John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. What? Because he goes, John? Like, no. Acts 15:28, the Jerusalem Council. Peter comments and says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us to give you these instructions. Did they hear a voice? Did they get a burning? No. It just, they prayed and it seemed good to them because the still small voice in Galatians 5:18, being led by the Spirit. Nothing in Scripture asserts why any or all of these experiences might not still be used by God today. Now, were they used a whole bunch in the Bible? Not a whole bunch, but they were at times. But nowhere does it say, and we're done with that. So let me summarize it for you in Jim speak. God can reveal himself to anyone, in any place, in any way he chooses. Because he's God. Okay, so you're going, all right. But wait, Jim, all of those examples right up there, they were extraordinary, special people. You know, they're not like me. To which we get Acts 14 and James, the fifth chapter, where after Paul and Barnabas have been doing some incredible ministry work, the comment from the crowd is, these are the gods! And Paul says, no, we're mere human beings just like you. What? Paul says, you're just like me. James, citing Elijah and his big event back there in 1 Kings 19, James says, Elijah, a man, a mere man, just like you, he prayed, and here's what happened. Okay, so the Bible itself teaches that we are to understand the Bible, as you read it, in terms of our own experience when it says that Paul, Barnabas, Elijah were human beings just like us, and that Jesus knows how we feel in our weakness because he himself, in every respect, has been tested just like us. Hebrews 4:15. It means that all of the experiences you read in the scripture are not about them. They're about us because they were substantially like us. And if we're to hear God's voice ourselves and on an individual basis, I think it's important that we observe in the Word of God or how the Word came to those people described in Scripture. Please think about reading the Scripture with a, wow, they really had something special, and go, what can I learn from them about how you might communicate to me? Ask the question as you read, how did they experience God's communication? What was it like for them to hear God? Okay, you might say, this all sounds a little mystical. I have my Bible. Isn't that enough? And the answer is no. There you go, heresy. Isn't that great? Jesus is the living Word, the Logos of God. He didn't die. He rose from the dead, and he's very much alive. In the beginning was the Word, not the Bible. The Bible wasn't there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he still is God. There's the Logos, and there is the Bible, which is the unique written Word of God. The Bible is inerrant in its original form. It's infallible in all its forms for purposes of guiding us into life-saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But ironically, we are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives if we are to understand what we read. The Bible gives direct instructions about many situations in lives. In life, I know I should not worship an idol. I know I shouldn't steal. I know I shouldn't engage in immoral sex. Yay. But other questions will force you and I to realize that many of life's specific circumstances are not dealt with in the Bible. The Bible is not going to tell Michael which songs to sing next Sunday. The Bible is not going to tell Don which scriptures to use next Sunday. Your family, your work, your community will present you, if they haven't already, with many choices and issues about which the Bible simply says nothing. But all of the principles are there. Our reverence for and our faith in the Bible must not be allowed to blind us to the need for a personal divine instruction within the principles of the Bible, yet beyond the details of what it explicitly says. We ought to thank God for the presence of the Bible in our lives because it allows us to grow closer to God and his ways in dealing with us. However, you will only be able to love your neighbor as yourself if you are in some kind of an inward conversation with God. What your neighbor needs is often something you don't know, and it's not in the Bible, and you need to be guided. And when our neighbor has done something awful to us, we often need to be taught how to love our neighbor because we don't know how. And loving an enemy who may be our neighbor is to do what is in the power of their good. But sometimes love means opposing what they want. We need to learn how to hear from God. Okay, you say, I'll give this hearing God thing a chance. What do I need to know? Well, first we need to ask, help the boy. Thank you. First we need to ask a few relevant questions. Do you expect to hear from God? We need to get over that first big hurdle right there. Trying to lay a foundation, you know, in the scripture says, don't be surprised. He's talking, you're just not hearing sometimes. Okay, do you expect to hear from God? I expect that people might hear from God. Well, do you believe that God would want to speak to you as a unique individual? All right. When a word or a thought comes to you through others, through that still small voice, through some circumstance, through the Bible, how do you know whether it's a word from God to you? What about it indicates it has a divine source? Well, you can, of course, know that the word is from God if it corresponds directly with a plain statement or the meaning of the Bible that is consistently interpreted biblically. And you can know at all times, for example, that God directs you not to worship idols. But beyond this, the only answer to the question, how do you know whether it is from God, is by experience. I didn't know Debbie's voice in 1970 very well, but over the last 47 years, with experience, I can pick her voice out anywhere. Okay, so do you understand that it's remarkable that sheep, dogs, and cats can recognize the voice of their master? Debbie is a cat whisperer. We've had cats all our lives. And somehow they always ended up sleeping in a room by themselves because I don't do cats in my face. And so it would be time, and Debbie would announce to these three cats, it's time to go night-night. And they walked down the hall. Okay, if cats and sheep can do it, but it was a learning process. That didn't work well the first time she tried it. Same old with you and I and God. In John 10, Jesus states his followers can hear. They do hear. They just sometimes don't recognize what they hear because they need to learn. All right, what might be some of the characteristics of this voice you're talking about? And boy, I hate using the word voice. Okay, but it's the one we're stuck with, I guess. I choose to say, you know, I wonder how God's going to reveal himself. Because he can reveal himself in any way, form, or fashion that he wants. But stay with me. We'll use voice. Well, the quality of the voice is going to make an impression on your consciousness. Some would liken it to being weighty. It's not just your, I think I should go to Burger King and get us some fries. That's a thought that comes from within, but it's not very weighty and it's not very impressive. But the voice of God will probably go, and settle in. It will have a spirit about it, a spirit that conveys peace and confidence and joy and goodwill. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, because the words he gives us does that. It will not be the voice of a bully. It will not be in a hurry. It will not be condemning of your identity. And the content of whatever message will conform to the fundamental principles of Scripture. It will always conform to and be consistent with the truth about God's nature and the kingdom of God that are made clear in the Bible. In order to qualify as the voice of God, a thought, a perception, or another experience must conform to the fundamental truths of Scripture. All right, just gone. All that sounds kind of emotion-based. Even irrational, dare I say, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, I had, as I do every Friday for the last forever, had breakfast with my friend Jeff Coates at Chubby's. I tell you, someplace, sometime you got to try Chubby's, never mind. So Jeff and I are at breakfast. Jeff is an intellectual guy, as much as anybody I've ever known. He is a matter-of-fact kind of guy. And yet, we shared at breakfast how he has learned over the years to identify the weighty thought that is full of peace that he recognizes as God's voice. Jeff is not a big emotional guy. Jeff's a thinking guy. But he's learned over his journey to recognize the voice of God. He says, I've also learned to recognize the voice of the enemy. And when I hear something in my inner person and it goes, whoa, no, that's not consistent, that's not peaceful, that's demeaning, that's bullying, and he says, I turn on praise music and send it away. And he's the reason so much of what I'm talking about this morning, because he was the human voice of God to me when I needed some clarity, even as late as Friday morning. Okay, what if I don't hear anything? What if I don't hear anything when I'm trying this? What if I don't hear anything? Well, let's just ask a few questions. They're not all the questions in the world. Like I said, we've only got 35 minutes. We're doing the best we can. Are you willing to invest time and energy to grow your relationship with God? If Debbie and I had gotten married and I'd stopped talking to her and stopped doing things with her, 47 years later, A, we wouldn't be together, and if we were, it would be ugly, right? Because it takes an investment of time and energy, not just Sunday mornings, not even Sunday mornings in life groups, not even every morning. It takes an investment. Are you willing to do that? And a follow-on question says, how long have you been listening? Hal Worrell pushed his way into the men's breakfast yesterday, pushed old Brian Migliozza out of the way and says, I know you're supposed to speak, but I got a word from God. Well, what are you going to do when you hear that, okay? How did Hal get that? He stood up and said, I decided this week that I would just sit and listen to God. Boy, how often do that? I got better things to do. I got to get to work. I got to cut the grass. All right. Are you willing to invest time and energy to grow the relationship? Are you willing to do it just for the sake of the relationship? I'm going to invest that time and money so that I can ask God who's going to win the Kentucky Derby and he'll tell me. It don't work that way. Okay. Do you really want to hear from God? Well, of course I want to hear from God. No, maybe you don't. You don't know how many times I've heard from people. And I said, well, should we ask Jesus what he wants you to know about that? And they go, no, I don't want to know. Why? Because I don't think I'm going to like it. Because they would rather live in their sinful state than hear from God. So this is a pertinent question. Do you really want to hear from God? Are you willing to put into practice whatever it is he may reveal to you? Have you considered he may have already told you what to do? What? You know? Jesus, I need you to take away my anger. I'm waiting for a voice from God. And all I hear is, I already told you how to do that. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. What? Sometimes he's already, okay. Why do you want to hear from God? Is it to further your relationship? Or do you really view God as a big cosmic Alexa? Alexa, should I buy that house? Alexa, should I take that job? See, we're going back to relationship and familiarity, not, okay, you get the picture here, right? Have you asked him to reveal in whatever way he chooses if there's some hindrance within you? Boy, Michael smacked you with us with that one today, didn't he, at the end of the worship time? When he said, let's just ask God to reveal to us if there's anything that's hindering us from hearing from him. Okay, that's another one of those times I want to hear from God. But have we really asked him? You know, my mind is cluttered with garbage, and Paul says it needs to be transformed by renewing of our mind. Romans 12, 1, 2. Hey, if there's hindrance, would you consider taking counsel from two people whose relationship with God you respect, preferably not your buddy who will tell you what you want to hear, perhaps in a group setting, and just say, can you help me understand why I may not be hearing from God? And they may have some insight for you directly from God. Has it occurred to you that in some cases there are various things that would equally please God, though he directs none of them in particular to be done? What? What if what you're praying about, this or that, and he says, those are both good. They're all perfectly in my will. None of them is better than the other. As far as I'm concerned, it's all good. I wouldn't have you do anything else. Well, then who's supposed to decide? You. Is it considered? Okay. But someone may ask, when I'm sure that God is speaking to me and I'm sure about what he says, couldn't I still be mistaken? Even though I've had apparent successful experiences of hearing and understanding his voice. Yes, we could still be wrong. Imagine that. You know, do I understand everything Debbie says to me? No. Do I go off and do things I think she told me to do? Yes. Is it a mess? Always. God does not intend to make you infallible by his conversational walk with you. In fact, fallibility keeps us in dependency, which is about good relationship. Okay, Jim. Don't you think it's a bit dangerous to encourage people to hear from God? Sure. Absolutely. As people, we are incredibly adept at misusing many of the things that God provides. We even misuse the scripture. Right? So sure enough, we'll probably run some day, but you know, I would rather have a few challenges than a room full of y'all who are unaware of the realities of personally interacting with God. Much rather run that risk. Do unbelievers hear God's voice? Yes, but it's more like a lifeguard yelling of impending danger. Jesus said the Holy Spirit in John 16:8 would convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Yeah, they hear from God. But boy, it's so much better on the other side of salvation, isn't it? I'd rather hear from Debbie than a lifeguard yelling at me about impending danger. Well, let's see. How about a nice formula? Everybody needs a formula. Some of what I've taken today has been from Dallas Willard's book, Hearing God. He has a formula. Okay, oh, good. This is what I was waiting for, the checklist. And I'm just going to, it's not a surefire technique for squeezing what you want to hear out of God. It's actually a formula for living every moment with the reality of God's voice, for hearing his word in a life that is surrendered and maturing in him. So what might it look like? We intend, plan, and make provision to do what we know to be morally right and what we know to be explicitly commanded by God. He hasn't said a thing yet. Well, yeah, he has, through the written word. And so we live out the written word as we understand it. We meditate constantly on God's principles for life as set forth in the scriptures. There's a link. Maybe it's in your YouVersion. It's definitely on the church website under sermon resources called Lectio Divini. Sounds Italian. Okay, but it's just the Latin words for divine conversation. I'd ask you to consider the exercise. The exercise is there is out of 1 Kings 19 about Elijah hearing from God. It's just a way of letting God speak through the scripture. Okay, good. A little more. We pay close attention to what is happening in our life for God's communications in our mind and in our heart. Yes, we come to him all the time for a please tell me what to do. Please tell me what to do. But no. This is a life. This is a relationship that says, throughout the course of every day, I am paying close attention to what you're doing, waiting, anticipating that you might communicate with me. We pray and speak to God constantly and specifically about all the matters that concern us. It's an ongoing conversation. We listen carefully and deliberately for God, paying closer attention to what we hear. I haven't got time to sit and listen. Then you're probably not going to hear. John Malloy, you know, who was the voice of God earlier today, you know, when I put out the email about, you know, how do I know that God is speaking to me, he just wrote and said, you listen. Okay, and here's a gem addition to the principles. Ask clarifying questions about what you hear. When you think God has brought you a word, ask him, okay, that's nice, but what does that look like today? And he goes, I'm so glad you asked. Okay, of course we ask God about specific situations. That's usually why we want to hear from God. I'm trying to encourage you to understand that God would rather it was a moment-by-moment relationship where you hear from him all the time, even when things are going good. Let me share a story. It's a Twitter feed, prostate, I don't know, called Why I Am a Christian. I've experienced this so often in my own life and the lives of others. Listen, here's the first major time I realized that not only is God real, but he speaks to us and uses us to speak to other people. I had a student that did not laugh at my jokes. This was unusual because students always laugh at my jokes. She didn't think I was cool. She didn't think I was funny. She just sat in the back, and honestly, she did not participate at all. One day, she walks into my class, and I hear a voice in my head say, give her the money in your wallet. Now, the voice sounded like my own voice, not the voice I could have imagined God to have. No thunder, no boom, no John Malloy. Just a whisper that sounded like my own thought. I said, no, I'm not doing that. This is a secular school, and I can't just give students cash after class. That's inappropriate. So I finished the lecture, and I heard the voice again, and by the way, I only had $20. Everyone leaves, and I hear the voice in my head again. You asked me to trust you with big requests, and you couldn't do this small one? Pause. Why would God give us big answers when we haven't been faithful in the little answers? I think Jesus told a story like that. Okay. So I'm like, wow, dang, God dragged me. I started running to the parking lot to look for her, and I can't find her. The next day is spring break, and I go to Mexico for a wedding, and I don't think about this situation once, and I come back to school a week later, and the second she walks into class, I hear it again. Give her the money in your wallet. By the way, this time I had $40, so God had doubled it. So after class, I ask her to stay back. She thinks she's in trouble because we don't chit-chat like I do with other students. She looks super nervous. I tell her this was awkward and inappropriate, but I'm a Christian, and I felt God tell me to give her $40. I know it's crazy. It's not much money. It's not even for me. This is between you and God. She looks at me and gasps. She tells me she is a single mom at 19. She lives in a shelter. She had asked her friend before class if she had any money for a box of diapers, and the girl said, no, but let's ask my dad, and the dad says he doesn't have it. And the friend asks her if they can pray for God to supply the money. And my student hadn't prayed in years. She'd been sexually abused as a child by the foster family she was placed with. This is why she was now in a shelter. She didn't know if she believed in God anymore, but she prayed anyway because she needed diapers. And now here I was 2 hours later handing her $40. To this day, I have a personal relationship with that student. Her daughter stays with my family when she needs a break. She has her own car, job, and apartment. She goes to church, and I recently introduced her to another student, and they will probably get married. This story is 6 years old, but it's the first story that triggered so many others because it taught me to listen to that voice. It taught me that God cares about diapers and that we don't have to be Christians or even like each other for him to come swooping in when we ask for help. I have many more stories. But this is not the first time I met God for myself. This was the first time I met God for myself. Not the God of my pastor, not the God of my parents, the God of Heather, the God of diapers. 20 years ago, I sat in a pastor's office. I was a pastor. I knew my Bible. I taught the Bible. And I wanted to die. And Debbie said, go talk to someone before you kill yourself. I went to this man. I told him what was on my heart and mind. He pulled it out of me pretty good. I was a broken man. And then Pastor Rudy said, why don't we ask Jesus if there's something he wants to reveal to you? I didn't believe Jesus talked to anybody. I had all I needed. Thank you. I didn't ask Jesus to speak. I'm not sure I wanted Jesus to speak. But man, on the threshold of getting up and walking out of the room, I let Jesus speak. And Jesus spoke to me. I didn't expect it. I didn't recognize it. I'm so glad he did. Because I likely wouldn't be here today if he hadn't. Can you hear me now? Subtitle of the message, can you hear me now? Where's my band? Come on out of here, band. Can you hear me now? God is communicating this morning. He invites all who have not placed their faith in Jesus to do so today. You know, I'm glad he's the lifeguard yelling at you about impending danger, but he wants to rescue you and change the entire relationship. Someone will be able to help you with that even this morning. Our prayer teams will be at the front when we stand in a moment. And if you're a believer, I think he's encouraging you to learn to a deeper relationship with him so you can more easily hear his voice. Can you hear me now? Yes, Jesus. Why don't you stand with me, prayers team? Oh, that wasn't me. Trust me, that was God all over me. Prayer teams to the front. Let's just pray for a minute. Lord, Mike asked earlier if you would remove hindrances. And I think you did. He asked that we would open our hearts and minds and spirits to you because Mike believes you talk. You talk to him and you talk to us. And I'm pretty confident you're talking right now. I just ask that we would listen to you, please, and then do what you have prompted us to do. Thank you, Jesus, Good Shepherd. We hear your voice.